Beloved, you are listening to Grace Life Komi Podcast, a platform commissioned by God to raise men into completeness in Christ Jesus. We believe that you will be blessed beyond measure as you give yourself wholly to this divinely inspired teaching. Through God's servant Pastor Chimdi Ohahuna. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
We looked at, the ways by which God leads us, amen, to Jesus,
amen.
And I will be at least able to do some little work on the six of them. That is not the end of it, just the beginning, and we can still study more, amen, to Jesus,
amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus. And so, due to that, we'll be going into another of the meanings for the word, good success. You know, good success is one word in the Hebrew, amen. And we looked at many of the words that explain it, to be circumspect, to be prudent. We looked at those last year, amen. And in the course of being circumspect and prudent, we entered into how God leads us, praise God forevermore. And we're able to do that study to a little extent, amen, to Jesus. Today we're going to be looking at another word that explains good success, the Hebrew word for good success. And that is the word prosper. Basically, I got reading through our book on prosperity, kingdom, resourcefulness, and when I read through it again, I was like, wow, I was so blessed by that book, amen to Jesus. It's going to be out very soon, it's going to be published very soon. Go on Amazon, get a copy, amen to Jesus. It's going to bless your heart so richly. I once again learned a lot on prosperity, amen to Jesus. And today we're going to be looking at what prosperity again, as it were, amen.
Amen.
When God begins to, I remember in deep back 2009, the Lord gave me an understanding of the subject of prosperity, amen. And it actually created a balance in the different divides to prosperity. And it amazes me how many who say they are actually learned in the scriptures still fight the teaching of prosperity. It's because we, some of the times, based on our bias and our dispositions, will not open our hearts to the Spirit of God to explain things to us thoroughly. Praise God. And so we looked at that in Kingdom Resourcefulness. That book, go get your copy, it's a blessing. And we're going to be looking at prosper, what it means to prosper today again. And that's, let me say, what is another aspect to that study, amen to Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, now so the term prosper has been greatly misunderstood by the church over the years from different extremes. One of the challenges that the Church of Jesus has had over the years is what is called extreme passions or extreme understanding, amen to Jesus. Extreme is only permissible when it has to do with grace. It's only grace that's meant to be extreme. For the boss, if it is not of grace, then it's of what? If not of works, then it's of what? Grace. Praise God forevermore. So when we're dealing with grace, are we together? That's only when extreme is permitted. Amen. But when we're dealing with, subjects in the Christian faith, are you getting me? Yeah, let me say what subjects in the Christian faith, we need to create and strike a balance. Are we together? Very important. We need to create and strike a balance. Extreme grace will not even make you lazy. Amen to Jesus.
Yeah.
Extreme grace would enable you to see what Jesus has done for you and his finished work for you. And it just empowers you to love him and empowers you to live for him and to live out the life of holiness which he has already put on the inside of you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what extreme grace, that's right. And extreme grace makes you see the worthiness of Jesus. And so make sure you always don't give don't esteem your unworthiness. Amen. Are we together? And so, as well, extreme grace is very important. But we are dealing with, many subjects like prosperity, faith, and every of that. We need to strike a balance. And Kenneth E. Hagin of the Blessed Memory, said he was invited to come and preach in a church, and they invited him from time to time. And one day, the elders of the church, the pastor of the church, had to call him and said, please, we need you to talk to a particular brother in the church. What was the issue? This brother said he was living by faith and acting by faith, and his wife had to go get many multiple jobs just to cater for the family, and she would even have to do laundry for people to get some money to cater for the family, and multiple jobs just to cater for the family. And this man said he was living by faith, and the church even went ahead to go and look for, you know, job openings for him. He will not go out and look for a job. He will not apply. He will not look for a job. And he said he's living by faith. He's staying inside the house and expecting the job to come and meet him at home, expecting the miracle to come and meet him at home. That is living by faith. And the church will go ahead, look for job openings for him. And when they look for job opening for him, he will not go for an interview. They would everything. So they got frustrated. The church got frustrated. And I said, okay, you are a teacher of faith. I beg, help us explain faith to this guy. You know, those are when you deal with extremes. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you deal with extremes, praise God forevermore. And extremes are always dangerous when we deal with subjects. Are you getting what I'm saying? They're always dangerous when you deal with subjects. You know, and that's one of the challenges that the church has had. The church has always had issues of extremes. And if we don't balance the extremes, we discover that we begin to have disunity of faith and anarchy among ourselves. Mm. Bible says that until we all come to the unity of faith. Unity of faith is when we can create a balance. Mm. When my revelation of faith does it balances your revelation of faith, then we are talking here. When my revelation of prosperity balances your revelation of prosperity, then we are talking. When purpose are on two extremes and we are fighting, then there's a challenge. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
And this is not what will help the Church of Jesus. It will never help us. We need to. And the only way we can create the balance is when we get it from scriptures as it is. That's why I believe in going through the Hebrew and the Greek. You get what I'm saying? Most of the time, I see that many of the people who profess to be new creation teachers, they just emphasize on the Greek. You get what I'm saying? But you will not see them go to the Hebrew. And you see, if you are emphasizing on the Greek only and you not go to the Hebrew, you will fight many things. You would cause a lot of problems see, because we must understand something, that like many of our teachers say that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Is that not so? And the New Testament, the Old Testament revealed. So if it is concealed, revealed, concealed, that means there's a unison in both of them. So we must be able to know where it began from and where it is now. So that's why I believe in going through from the Hebrew down to the Greek. And when you do that more often than not, you create the balance. You create the balance. But if you don't do that, if you just say in the Greek, which is the New Testament, of which basically we are dealing with the Gospels, which, as it were, we're told is in the Old Testament, it's not the New Testament. They are dealing with the Gospels. They were basically spoken in their Aramaic. You get what I'm saying? And the Gospels were where the words of Jesus were revealed. Are we together? And then also, if you look at many of the things that were said in the Pauline epistle, you discover that they have a root to the Gospels, and they also have a root to the Old Testament. Are you get what I'm saying? So, striking this balance is very, very important. And I nailed it over and again. It's very, very important. Some people say you cannot, but no, you can balance. You can balance. It's very, where we are having problems in the church, there's imbalances, serious imbalances, tilt here and there. And it's causing a lot of challenges for us. If you understand the Ten Commandments that Jesus summarized in, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, love thy neighbor as thyself, you would not do some things. It's as simple as that. You will not do something. But if you refuse to understand that the Ten Commandments were summarized in, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself, you'll be doing some things. Look at what we're having in the church today, because we have thrown away Ten Commandments and also thrown away the summarization of the Ten Commandments that Jesus did. So, because if you love your neighbor as yourself, there are things you should not do. In the Ten Commandments, it was relational. It had to do with relationship. Relationship between God and between what? Man. That's a lot of the Lord that God. shall worship not that God. And then one out of the nine is God, the remaining is man. So basically, because God is the man, how can you say you love God when you do not love John? Sorry, John of the Beloved says, how can you say you love God when you do not love your fellow brother who you see? So nine out of the ten commandments have to do with relationship with man, and only one has to do with God, because we live more with man than we live with God. Are you getting what I'm saying? At least on this earth plane, he lives on inside of us. We see men more. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so the balance comes in where we can go from the Old Testament down to the New Testament and create the balance. You know, when I see people fight a lot about the Bible, it hurts me, because I'm like, see, why do we fight? Create the balance. Create the balance. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, if prosperity is only about having money, wealth, and more of it, are we together? You know, prosperity is far more and far greater than money and wealth. Amen to Jesus.
Yeah.
As it has been reduced to over the years. One of the challenges we've had with prosperity is that prosperity has been reduced to mammon. You see, and get another of our book, Money Sheets. Very important, very, very important book. You see, these books they just help you understand the different challenges we have had in the church over the years, and how to create the spiritual and mental balance for yourself to be able to succeed in your work with God. Because over the years, we've had this challenge. Once we hear prosperity, once we hear prosper, the thing that comes to mind is money, wealth, money, wealth. And you see, it annoys me. It pains me when I hear people say the prosperity gospel. There is nothing called prosperity gospel. The gospel is Jesus. It hurts me when I hear people say prosperity preacher. There's nothing called prosperity preacher. We only preach Jesus. If you are not preaching Jesus, you are not preaching the gospel. It's not like prosperity preacher. It's not like a prosperity gospel. No, Jesus is our gospel. Jesus is our message. The grace of God has given us salvation and appeared to all men. So then if you are not revealing Christ, if you are not preaching the grace of God, then I'm sorry to say, you are not preaching what you are meant to preach. I cannot tell you what you are preaching. I don't have the power to judge you. But it's not like prosperity gospel, it's not like prosperity preacher. So this cliches and titles and designations have come because the God of money, which is mammon, has over the years fine-tuned the minds of people to think that prosperity is money, more money and wealth. Amen to Jesus. And that is reducing prosperity to the most, I can't explain it. In fact, it's an insult to prosperity. It's rubbing mud on the face of what? Of prosperity. Praise God forevermore. Now, saying prosperity is only about having money, wealth, and more of it, then it will not be good success. You get what I'm saying? When we started off last year, go over Success by the Spirit Summit, we said that God does not want you to succeed. God wants you to have what? Good success. And good success is one word in the Hebrew, praise God forevermore. Now, if prosperity is all about just having money and more wealth, it will not be good success. You get what I'm saying? It will at best just be success. Because you see, one of the challenges I've had in the world today is over the years, Christians have taken the world's definition of success. We have brought the world to become our lecturers in the church. So they lecture us and define success to us. They teach us success. We have adapted their success principles, and they have been able to define what success means to us. And so we have lost what is called good success. You get what I'm saying? Even next to speed, God's definition of speed is not speed. God's definition of speed is good speed. The servant of Abraham asked the Lord, "Lord, I ask that you grant me good speed." He didn't say grant me speed, he said good speed. And the Lord granted him what? Good speed. Praise God forevermore. Now, why is this so? Because the Bible says every good and every perfect gift, James said it, cometh from what? From the Lord. God does not just give you gifts. God gives you good and perfect. So the good is not just only good, it's also what? Perfect. Because the gifts of God are what? Always perfect for us. Now the gift is good for everybody, but it becomes perfect for you. And you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, the gift that God gives you is good for everybody's consumption, but it's perfect for you.
Yes.
By the period of God's grace, the Lord has given me a teaching gift. And you get what I'm saying? It's good for me. We thank God on our podcast, by the grace of God, in the space of 3 years, we have had 3,500 plays in the period of grace and listeners all over the nations of the earth. The teachings are good for the people. But more than good for the people is that it is perfect for me. It's just perfect for me. It just was perfect for me. It's just perfect for me. Anything outside it is not perfect for me. You get what I'm saying? It's just perfect for me. Yeah, we thank God for other gifts that are functioning in my life. But this teaching is just perfect for me. You get what I'm saying? And the others are also still perfect. Praise God. But that's why it's good and it's what? Perfect. Amen to Jesus. So, if prosperity is just all about money, then at best it is success, but it's not good success. And as Christians, we are not to pursue success. Our desire should be what? Good success. That's the reason why the world is not meant to teach us success. It is the word of God that's to teach us what? Success. Are we together?
Yes.
Praise God forevermore.
Yes.
And if in fact, there's a limit to motivation. When I used to read motivational books, then I'm not against them. Please go ahead and read if you have to read. If that's what you need at this phase of your life, you get what I'm saying? But you know, when you are born, you need tutors. But when you grow to manhood, there are some tutors you don't need again. I've grown to man, so I can't remember the last time I took a motivational book to read. I have been listening to doing the motivation study. I know how to block myself in prayer and the motivation will rise up from inside. But if you need it, please, it's important, go for it. If you need it, there are many of the good authors there. There are many Christian authors who are good motivational speakers, and go for them. Amen. Praise God forevermore. So when I read most of those books, they helped me. You know what I'm saying? They helped me. But as I grew more, I began to seek more for good success, because you grow from the search for success into the desire for good success. Good success is a school of the spirit. Good success is only the spirit that can take you there. Books cannot take you there. You get what I'm saying? It's only the word of God and the Holy Spirit that can take you to good success. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Now, so since prosper is one of the words used to explain good success, it means it is good success to prosper. Are we together? It means it is what? Good success to what? Prosper. So those who are fighting prosperity, it means you are fighting good success. So that is why I always say we should get the definitions right before we start fighting. The devil has defined prosperity wrongly for us. We have taken the definition. See, one of the worst things that can happen to you is when you take the devil's definition. And once you take his definition, you will never get it right. Some people are even fighting what is happening in your life. You know what I'm saying? They are fighting what's happening in your life. They are putting against me, they are fighting prosperity and it's happening in your life. Because you don't know the definition of what you are fighting. And God in his mercy is still allowing the thing to happen in your life. Because he knows that you are ignorant and you think you know. One of the worst things that can happen to a person is when you think he knows, but he doesn't know. God in his mercy is allowing you to continue prospering. And you are fighting the prosperity. You are fighting it because you don't understand what you are fighting. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is good success to prosper. Joshua 1 verse 8, is there any preacher of the word of God? Is there any preacher of the gospel that we say Joshua 1 verse 8 is wrong? Because we have been on Joshua 1 verse 8 since last year. This book of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. For then you shall thou observe to do all that is pleasing them, and then you shall thou make thy way prosperous, and then you shall thou have what? Good success. Is there any preacher of the gospel that says Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 is heresy? Is what is again? It's not complete. It's not of God. Because now they're having people who are having different things to say. I'm like, sometimes when I hear some of them, I say, please, spare me, spare me, spare me. spare me. Stop editing for us and re-editing scriptures. Take it as easy as it is, my brother. Move on with life. There's so much of that. If you gather out the knowledge and nobody gets saved by your knowledge, what is the use of the knowledge? If you claim to know and all you are doing is... there was somebody when I was in Congo, one of my interpreters, one day we were in a bus, we're going somewhere, and he pointed at one person to me and said, "Pastor, look at that person." Like, yeah. See that guy? He said, "You know the number of books he has? You know the number of, I'm talking about books, I'm talking about Christian books. See, number of books he has read. He has read them. He was talking about his pastor. He has read them. He has all the books. You know, I don't understand. See the way the guy's life is. His life is all messed up." That's what he told me. And I was like, I was just quiet. What profit does it give to us when we claim to know all the Bible, but our next door neighbor cannot be saved by the Bible we know? What profit does it give to us when we claim to be Gnostics and our brothers and sisters are wallowing and going to hell? So please save us plenty of the editing of the Bible, plenty of the things that you said some people did not do right. You see, I listened to the man of God. I said to him, he said, if you look at the Hebrews chapter 11, where they talk about the heroes of faith, you discover that the author of Hebrews never wrote any of the mistakes of the heroes. Look at it. He talked about Abraham. Abraham believed God, was standing for righteousness. He didn't say Abraham went to Hagar, into Hagar. He didn't say that. That was a mistake Abraham made. He talked about Gideon. Gideon, he led the army to victory. He didn't talk about the fact that Gideon, after that, he went to God and started idolatry. He that destroyed or went to God and started idolatry. He did not say all the mistakes of these heroes of faith. He rather concentrated on their word, on their good part and their success. What does that mean? It means that when God uses somebody, God concentrates on the good side of the person. So what you are calling the person's error, the person's mistake, that's for your own consumption. And the better you go and allow God to use you so you concentrate on your good part, the better for you. Then you can go, why should I be saying the mistake of Moses and the mistake of Abraham and the mistake of Elijah when these guys have finished their assignment and they are going to enjoy their life, and me, I'm still fighting to fulfill my assignment. You are still fulfill my assignment. I need their mistake for God to deal with. I'm not finished my own. My journey is still very far. I'm still crying to God. Every time I pray, I cry to God, "Lord, I want to preach the gospel, I want to preach the gospel. There's somebody that finished assignment, somebody that I've left over 2,000 years. I'm not going to be charging his mistake. That means I'm jobless. I refuse to be jobless. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, prosperity, good success is prosperity. So, it means that God wants us to what? To prosper. Amen. And keeping the word of God in our mouth and meditating on it day and night makes us what? Prosper. In other words, it makes us have what? Good success. See, no matter what anybody tells you, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have what? Good success. And God told Joshua, the way you have good success is the word, is to keep the word in your mouth and to meditate upon it day and night. The word meditate there is from the Hebrew word hagar, which means to mutter. Now, by right, it's supposed to say this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mind. But it says it shall not depart out of thy mouth. Why? Because you meditate by what? Muttering. I know what it means to mutter. Saying words under your breath. Saying them under your breath. That's where the power of confession comes in. So, you see, when the word does not depart from your mouth, it means that you have entered into the realm of continuous confession. With the heart, man believes. Most of us just allow the word not to depart from our heart, but God does not need it. See, with the heart, man believes, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Until the word you believe is confessed, salvation is not enacted. So that's why it says in this book of Revelation, depart out of thy word, mouth. Because if you just keep it in your heart alone, salvation cannot come. It will just remain relaxed in your heart. And you'll be crying for lack of salvation. You'll be crying and crying and crying. But if you want to be saved, then you have to release it out of your
mouth.
And it must not depart from your mouth. That means it must be flowing from your mouth 24/7. And now it keeps flowing. Let the word keep flowing from your mouth. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God wants us to have good success. And good success comes by the meditating of the word of God. So if God wants it for us, why should somebody say it is not of God? Why should somebody fight what is of God? The reason why people fight prosperity is because they don't know what prosperity is all about. And why is it so? Because the devil has defined it for them. Mammon has defined it for them. And see, if you take the definition of mammon, no matter how it came, who it came from, whether it says from a man of God, or it's for a boy, or it's for a child of God, if you take the definition of mammon and begin to run with it, you are at risk. You are the one to be blamed for taking it. You have a responsibility to go to the world and get your definition from the world. The very young Christians, when Apostle Paul preached to them, what do they do? They go to the world by themselves and get the definition for themselves. Yeah, praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
All right, so what does it mean to prosper? Let's look at that quickly. The Hebrew word for prosper, for prosperous, because Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 is what we're dealing with now. The Hebrew word for prosperous in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 and Genesis 39 verse 2 clearly reveals to us what it means to prosper. We're looking at Genesis 39 verse 2 because a very important verse of scripture to look at to add to Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. He's talking about Joseph here. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptians. Now, I want to understand something here. This period when the Bible was saying that Joseph was prosperous, it was when he was in the house of what? Potiphar. In other words, he was a slave. Now, who will, if prosperity is about status, standard, wealth, money, and more money, more wealth, more standard, and more status, Joseph would have not been in the category of the prosperous. Let's use this to deal with the issue first. We can close here. If it is about more money, more wealth, more standard, more status, Joseph would have never been called a prosperous man. But the Bible says and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous. He was a prosperous man. He was a prosperous man. Where was he prosperous? Not when he became prime minister.
Yes.
Because we'd have said, when he became prime minister, then he became prosperous. No, this is why we will get it wrong most of the time as Christians. We wait for when the thing happened before we say we are prosperous. But we don't know what prosperity really means. That's why we are waiting for some money, some wealth, some status, some achievement before we call ourselves prosperous people. And this is a lie from the pit of hell. If the Old Testament can clarify this issue, why should New Testament saints be misled by mammon? This is not a New Testament issue. It's even an Old Testament. It was certainly in the Old Testament. Why should New Testament say be misled by mammon? Anytime I enter the subject of prosperity, it always gets me, always get angry when I'm preaching because of what mammon has done. And I know this gospel, this revelation, we go to the ends of the earth. Mammon has messed up the minds of Christians. He said he was in the house of his what? Of his master, the Egyptian, and he was a prosperous man. Let me let you understand something. As a slave in the house of his master, he had no property to his name. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
He had no belonging to his name. Are you getting what I'm saying? He had nothing to his name. All he had, the Bible says the master gave him charge over everything. Are you getting what I'm saying? But in the Bible, did not say the master willed everything to him. To be in charge does not mean that he willed over to you. So he was in charge, but it was not his property. Joseph had nothing to his name. All he had to his name was his integrity. His master's wife wanted to take the little he had. Madam. Is it? Madam. No. Ask for this one. The little thing I have? Madam. You think I don't know? You are the one that say have these things that your husband says to take care of. You tell your husband to have it. Me, the only thing I have is my God. He said, can I do such an evil against God? It's not against your husband. It's against. Because the only possession I have in life is my God and my integrity. Then you have money, you have wealth, you have husband, you have servants, and even your property. A servant is a property to the master. You can kill me if you want, you can throw me away. Then me, I only have God. You don't want me to lose all I have. for your nonsense. Madam, stay where you are. He ran away. Drop coat. See, after I receive first time, I'm dropping shirt. They remove coat of many colors from me. The most prized and precious cloth I had. They took it from me. If they could take that one from me, what is what's left? I better take the one you even gave me, sir. The one my father gave me was more beautiful than this one. When I looked at sorry on the coat of many colors, it was not, it was made from a silk material that was not the everyday silk. Because they had a silk material they wore every day. But this silk material was not the everyday silk, it was a high quality silk. Very high quality silk. So these brothers knew the quality. I am a Kata Shata. They knew the quality of cloth their father made and gave him. The other brother, what's his name again? Ruben, Abi. Ruben should have said, why is it not me that he give this kind of quality of cloth? Let me go up and show my friends, man, see my designer's clothes. So we're talking about designer's clothes here. He got a designer's tire for Joseph. Quality, very high quality silk. My brother said, no, this one, if we cannot have it, he will not have it. That is why they spoiled it at the end of the day. They took it and poured blood on it. I know that to wash blood is very hard. If you want blood stain your blood, you cannot go again. No, so since we will not wear it, he should not wear it. Since he should not wear it, nobody will wear the cloth. You have this kind of brothers, your life, you need cloth. But then he said, just as that, they took the highest quality of cloth, not just the standard of the cloth, the silk material from me, but the that was inside the material, my father's heart of love. My brother said, but what is not this your cloth to give me as a slave? Carry it to, but the only person I have and anything I have, I won't lose it for anything. So it makes us understand that prosperity is not about status. It's not about position. It's not about power. It's not about wealth. It's not about money. It's not about any of these things. If it would be about them, the Bible would have not said Joseph was a prosperous man. I was a slave. Slaves don't prosper. Slaves are properties. It categorically said that when he was prosperous. You get what I'm saying? It is not when he was made prime minister that was prosperous. It was when. So, I think this is clear for us to understand and make us understand that this thing that many of us. I'm telling you, when I go online, I see what Christians are just fighting. I'm like, what is this? You guys should go and study. Go and study and stop allowing mammon give you an ideology and mammon give you a message. And you get that. You're angry with mammon. Stop venting your anger on us. If you are angry with mammon, what do? Go and study to show yourself approved. So that your anger with mammon will be justified. But you cannot be angry with mammon and helping mammon fulfill his tasks. What I'm doing today now, I am angry with mammon, but I'm destroying the work of mammon. But you are fighting prosperity. You are helping mammon fulfill his tasks. But if you understand what prosperity means, you will know that, man, we have to make sure that this subject is well taught. Because what is the issue with character we are having today? Is this lack of understanding of prosperity? What's the issue with virtue we're having today? Christians are messed up. Lack of understanding of prosperity. All they think about prosperity, money. Those that are jumping for the money aspect of prosperity, you get what I'm saying? Those that are too divided, those that are saying prosperity is money and they are jumping after it as money. Then those that are saying prosperity is an antichrist message and they are jumping after it as an antichrist message. That's the two divide, and the devil is happy. They have said confusion. Oh yeah, let me sit down and watch them kill themselves. That confusion the devil has set in the church, it is destroyed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This is when Joseph was what? Prosperous. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
So now let's look at the meaning of the word prosperous. The meaning of the word the Hebrew word for prosperous is the word salak. Salak. Amen to Jesus.
Yes.
Salak. And salak means, BDB defines salak as to rush, to advance, to make progress, to succeed, to be profitable, to bring to successful issue, to show or experience prosperity, to prosper. And then Strong defines it as to push forward. You get what I'm saying? It means it's also in various sense to break out, to come, to go over. It means to be good.
Wow.
To be good. Is there any faith that is against good? Being good? Even though, yes, we know as new creations, we don't thrive on morality, we thrive on the righteousness of God in Christ. But even the righteousness of God in Christ makes us good people. If you are shouting, it's not about morality and you are a bad person. My brother, your righteousness you are claiming has no impact on humanity. It's not about, I agree, it's not about morality, but you cannot be shouting, it's not about morality, and then you are a bad person. Please, the righteousness of Jesus does not make us bad people. Our God anointed Jesus, Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. If you have been righteous, if you are the righteousness of God, one of the first fruits of the righteousness is that you go about doing good, healing those who are oppressed with devils, and God was with him. You cannot be righteous and be doing bad left, right, and center. That's why most of the time I look at Christians and I wonder what Bible we are reading. What Christ are we following? Is it the one we have made up for ourselves or the one in the Bible? You cannot say you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You cannot say you are a follower of Christ and you are doing bad left, right, and center. You are batting and batting. And we've been able to over the year. Please, I don't want to go there. It means to be meat. It means to be profitable. Are we together? All right. So, to prosper means to push forward, to break out, to go over, to be good, to be profitable, to rush. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. It means to go forward also. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, it also means to advance and to make progress. Now let's look at some of the words we are dealing with here. Push forward, break out, go over, and rush. Let's look at these four words together. We don't have time to start breaking them down one after the other. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe in subsequent sorted by the Spirit, we break them down. Amen.
Amen.
But let's go over them quickly in summary. Now all of these words, to push forward, to break out, to go over, and to rush. To break out is the Hebrew word parents. Are we together? All right. All of this entail force. Is that not so? The entail force. This means that prosperity is the ability to be forceful in life. Forceful, as they will say over here, I'm forcing. Are you together? It's a bit to be forceful in life. And you see, force is a basic requirement for results in life. This begins from birth and spans through life. Is that not so? For the woman to bring forth, she must force. The book of Isaiah says, hey, there is trouble. For the woman is brought to the birth, but there is no strength to bring forth. There's trouble. And when such situations happen, if they don't quickly take her to the theater, she dies. The baby dies. She's brought to the birth, but there's no strength to bring forth. Force is required for what? For a woman to give birth. The woman applies force, and the baby also applies what? Force. It is the combined force of both mother and baby that brings about baby coming out. So from birth, force begins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Force begins. Force from birth. And it spans through life. You have to be forceful in life. You have to be forceful. If you are not forceful, nothing works for people that are not forceful. You have to be forceful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Faith is the ability to be forceful. No?
Mm-hmm.
If you are not forceful, you are not working in faith. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Grace does not make you lazy. Grace makes you forceful. Makes you forceful. Forceful. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah
to Jesus.
Amen.
This force is derived from the word of God and the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. You see, when you look at the word force there, in the dictionary, one of the words that explain force is power. You know what I'm saying? The word of God is quick and powerful. and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is quick, alive, and powerful. You need the word of God to be forceful in life. You see, Christians think that it's by shouting when praying that you get results. No, there is no force in shouting. There is a bodily exercise that profited little in shouting. You see, over here we see them. Hey, they are clapping, they are dancing. I remember I saw on the internet somebody saying, is it right for drummer and keyboardist to be playing while people are praying? I say, bros, have you noticed it? I see that. Is it cultural group? As one of them, you see them, they are just doing jamboree. They spend 1 hour jamboree. As one of them, they just have one syllable. Ayo, aya, ayo, aya. And they do ayo, aya for 1 hour. That is not prayer. Prayer is prayer when there is force in it. The force in prayer is the word of God. A soldier stands on the road and he raises his hand for a trailer to stop, a truck to stop, and a truck to stop. The soldier is a small soldier. The truck, how many lbs is it? How many tons is it? Just running over the police, the policeman, his skull burst. But what will make the truck with that heavy weight stop for that policeman? It is the force behind him. So in the realms of the spirit and the physical, if you don't understand the place of force, you cannot make things happen. The word of God is a force in us, and the force behind us, and the force for us. Think of Elisha, when the enemy's army came and surrounded them, and his master and his servant said, "Ah, master, we have been surrounded. And he said, "Oh, I pray that you see that they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Bible said, and the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw a host of angels that outnumbered their enemies. And the guy was like, "Wow, I didn't know that this is what we're dealing with." You see, what we need to understand here is the force of the word of God. The force of the word of God. And when we are using the force of the word of God, we use it with an understanding that it is forceful. The Bible says, how forcible are right words? Forcible. Use it with an understanding that it is forceful. And there is nothing that can stop the force of the word. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
God told Moses, strike the rock. Water will come out. Moses struck the rock. Water came out. The next time, God told him, I want to teach you the force of words. I want to teach you the force of words. And he told him, speak to the rock this time around. And what Moses did was, he spoke to the rock. He rather struck the rock. Why? Because he didn't understand that God was trying to change his orientation from, God was trying to change his orientation from the force of the rock to the force of the word of the rock. Praise God forever, of the word. Praise God forevermore. Some of us, in the New Testament sense, we prefer the force of the rod. Some of us say that we have prayed when we have sweated. I'm not against it. I get what I'm saying. We feel we have prayed when we have sweated. We feel we have, when we have exerted energy. It's good because it will help you profit something. But you see, when you understand the force in the word of God, you don't need to sweat for the word to produce results.
Yeah.
You just understand and know have faith in the force in the word of God and release it. The police officer does not need to sweat to stop the truck. He just releases the authority that has sent him. And the truck knows what he's doing. I get what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore.
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, the word of God is the first source of force. Are we together? And then the Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 1 verse 35 says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit precedes the power of God. He's a bringer of the power of God. He's a bringer of the force of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is, you see, when we call the Holy Spirit the power of God, it's just like calling God love. God is love because his nature is love. But love is not God. Are you getting what I'm saying? God is love, but love is not God. The nature cannot be the person. But the person can be what? The nature. The Holy Spirit is power, but power is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the force of God. But the force of God is not the Holy Spirit. So those who say the Holy Spirit is the force of God, they just limit him to a force that he's not a being. Is an understanding that is wrong. The Bible says, it says, and the angel of the Lord, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall what? Overshadow thee. It clearly states here, when the Holy Spirit comes, what happens? He releases what? The power of the highest. Because what? His presence brings the what? The power. His presence brings the force. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the force cannot be him. But he is the force. The power cannot be him. But he is the power. Because it produces the power. Praise God forevermore. Now, so that's why we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You get born again, you have him in glory, but you need a relationship with him. So that you can always release the force of God. Release the force of God. You can always release the power of God in everything you do. Praise God forevermore. Now, so good success is the ability to daily derive force from the word of God and the Holy Spirit and apply the force in life. Daily derive force from the word of God and from the Holy Spirit and apply it in life. That's why we need some time of praying in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Jude verse 20, building upon your most holy faith, what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's why we need time to pray in the Holy Ghost. That's why we need time to study the word of God. We need to derive force, sir. This world is full of negative forces. And we need the force of the word and the force of the Holy Spirit to push through in life, to break through in life, to go forward in life, to advance in life. All these require force. For a plane to move, it has to break, it has to defeat four forces. The force of pull, that is the force that pulls it down from the earth and are going to go high. Are we together? The force of drag. That is the force that drags it from behind so to not go forward. The force of lifts. That is the force that does want it to go higher. And then the force of trust. That is the force that does want it to what? To keep going forward. So the plane has to beat these four forces for it to what? Fly. I tell you, these forces are always against force in life. And we need the force of the word of God and the force of the Holy Spirit to do what? To beat them. Because we must move forward. Are we together? On a daily basis. There's no excuse to go backward. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. All right, now let's look at some other two words. It means to advance and to make progress. These words entail going forward. So it means that prosperity entails going forward. Are we together?
Yes.
Prosperity entails what? Going forward. Going forward. Going forward. This is why God created the justified. This is how God created the justified to live. Bible says in Proverbs 4 verse 18, it says, but the path of the just is as the what? Shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. God created the justified to continuously go forward. There is no room for backward movement. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so when we're talking about good success here, we're talking about the continuous ability to go forward. We're talking about prosperity. Prosperity is the ability to keep going forward. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, the times people ask my wife, they ask her, so this now with this, she will tell you, say, let's keep moving. Now it got to a point where, you know, some of them said, we are praying for you. Just keep moving. I know she will tell me, let's keep going forward. Sometimes I'm like, hi God, where do we go from here? And she tells me forward. We keep going. And it just addresses what God told Moses. Children of Israel were crying. The same four forces. Force of lift, force of pull, force of drag, force of thrust that comes against the plane. Four forces were against them. The force of drag behind, which was the Egyptian army. The force of thrust, which was the Red Sea in front. The force of lift and drag, which was the mountain that was surrounding them. And men, what do? God told the children of Israel. Moses, tell them to go forward. They say, if we go forward, we enter Red Sea and die. And God said, God, help me going forward. Because you can't go backward. In God, you can't go backward. You see, it's better you die going forward than live going backward. But most of us are basically, they say, when we're in Egypt, we have cucumber. Garlic. Let us go and remain their slaves. So it's better to go forward at the instruction of God and die than to go backward at your own desires to survive. And survive, not fulfilling God's will. So going forward is the way God created the justified to. That's the way He created us. He created us to just perpetually keep going forward. We can't go back. We don't know what's ahead of us. Go. There's a recipe. Go. The four lepers. If we stay here, we die. If we go into the camp of the enemy, we die. But at least if we go there, we can beg them for food. They can kill. They can give us food before we die. Let's go forward. Are we together? So good success is the ability to work, perpetually go forward in all you do. See, but we see every time you create results come from little steps, little continuous forward steps. That's where great results come from. Little continuous forward steps. You take one step. They say journey of 1,000 miles begins with what? One step. You continuously take one step, little by little. It may be little, but just keep taking it. You are going somewhere, sir. You are going forward. When you finally look back, you see that you have taken 800 steps. You say, how did I get here? And that's what good success is all about. Continuously going forward, as the Lord instructs. Keep going forward. You can't go backward. Are we together?
Yes.
Amen to Jesus. And you see, one of the things the devil wants to do to us is to keep us stuck, either in our past or in the present. But he never wants us to feature in the future. Because he knows that if we feature in the future, we'll go forward. We're talking with somebody and I told her, I said, I've been through a lot and I don't want to talk about the future. You see, I'm somebody who talks. But I learned that the more I talk these things, the more I remind myself of the past. And the Lord told me, remember, you know the former things. You know that bit. The only basis of when God will do the new thing He said He wants to do is when you have forgotten the former things. He said, forget the former things. Forget it, because you know that new thing He wants to do. So long as you hold on to the former things, you can't see that new thing. The person was telling us, she has lost money. See, and if God told them, God said, just forgive. We are seeing that God is she's better than where she was. There was somebody who said people took money from him and said the Lord told him, forgive those people. It was hard to forgive. He forgave. And he went forward. Going forward is one of the most difficult things to do because life in itself has wired us to live in the present and to mourn and rehearse the past. I get what I'm saying. Most of the times, if you want to mourn over what you have lost, you will lose what you have remaining. But if you learn how to go forward with what you still have left, you will discover that you have more as you go forward. So good success, the ability to keep going forward. I've lost some things, I'm going forward. I know the pains are happening, but somebody once told me, said, Chindi, it's not the pain that determines the man. It's not the pain that determines the man. The man is greater than the pain. So whenever I'm going through pain, that the pain is heavy, I'll tell myself, Chindi, you kill this pain. You are greater than this pain. You kill it. And I've come to understand, you see, In martial art, one of the things they teach you is that pain is not real. That's one of the things they teach you in martial art. Pain is not real. I know it's something that does not sound real, but that's one of the greatest lessons they teach you that makes you see them. They are fighting and they are being wounded, but they are still fighting. Why? They made them believe that pain is not real. And at the end of the day, they discover that they will still come back and what? And win. They tell you, ignore the pain. It's not easy. But if you understand that, you can always go forward. No matter how much things are trying to pull you back. They tie their ropes to you. You have the scissors. You have the knife. So good soldiers ability to what? To keep going forward. Because that's the way God designed us to go. Amen to Jesus. Go forward, all you do. Go forward does not mean that you are making big money. Doesn't mean that, but you are not where you were yesterday. You are not where you were 2 weeks ago. You have added some knowledge to yourself. You've added some things to yourself. You've added some virtue to yourself. You've added some abilities to yourself. You've added something good to yourself. You are not where you used to be. And so God has packaged you in such a way that when you meet the person that you are meant to meet that has to take you to your next level, you are well ready for the person. And the Lord caused us to meet somebody because of it. If it were to be me 3 years last year, last year, I messed up that relationship. But God is going to make sure that you're going to forget the past. That when you come, you will not be a mess for the blessing. Many people have messed up their future because they are stuck to their past. I was talking to someone and I said, your people did me bad things. I said, but I don't hate them. And they're like, why? I said, I just like, ladies, so because one man has jilted them, and I say, all men are evil. I said, that's the noise. He said, all men. I said, okay. Yeah, she said, all men are bad. All men. I said, this one has had all men issue. Your people have done me, and I can start to talk to you. You not say, all men are bad. You're the one that ever have problems, sir. I say, all women are bad. No. Amen to Jesus. Go forward. Good success is going forward. And it means to be profitable. Amen. All right. So profitable means being of value. And this can only happen when one makes profit. Are you getting what I'm saying? This thus, making profit is becoming profitable. Making profit is becoming what? Profitable. So you must make profit in what you're doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Any field of endeavor you are, whatever you're doing, make profit. You see, Joseph was a profitable dream interpreter. When he stayed in the house of Potiphar, he didn't interpret anything. It's like that period of his life, his gift was not functional. But he was not what? A waste. Sometimes there's a phase in your life where it looks like a particular major gift of yours is not operational. But it shouldn't make you a waste because there's still something that what you can be profitable for. While he was in the house of Potiphar, he was not manifesting the dream's manifestation, but he was manifesting the service manifestation. He could serve. Let me tell you, when God looks like he suspends a major thing in your life, it's because he's creating another thing to help you what? Push that major thing. If Joseph did not know how to serve in Potiphar's house, he would not know how to serve as a prime minister. So people are just full of their gifts, but they don't know what will help them to get to the place of success. What will help them to get to limelight? It is a gift of a man maketh way for him. But you see, when the gift make way for you, how will you remain in the way? It takes the understanding of what? Service. To remain in the way, because the people have made the way and walk out of the way because they didn't know how to serve. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So God had to teach him service, because service is what he saw his gifts. Get out of serve. He became profitable in Potiphar's house. Are you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was adding value in Potiphar's house. So Potiphar, and the Bible says Potiphar made him what? In charge of everything in there except for the wife. Because he was adding value to Potiphar. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Adding value to that. See, some people want to be valuable, but they don't want to add value to anybody. Takers mentality. You see, I was talking to somebody and she told us, over here, they are takers. I said, you are complaining. The place you're coming from, their capital is this was their reality. You see, takers can never be valuable to anybody. Because it's only givers that are valuable. For you to be valuable to somebody, you must be ready to offer something. See, forget this in your life. Some people just want to take from poor and they don't want to give. And they think that anybody will value them. No, nobody will value you. For you to be valuable in life, you must be ready to give something. What are you bringing to the table? You see people come to interviews in organization and they ask them, how much do you want the organization to pay you? And they say, I want the organization to pay me $2,000 monthly. And then the next thing your interviewer will ask you is, what are you ready to offer to the organization? What are you bringing to the table that you want to eat a buffet? Not in this life, sir. If you want to eat a buffet, you must bring something to the table. Bring ingredients and bring condiments. Even if you're not the one going to cook, bring something. But takers are people who only want to take, but don't want to add value. And that's the majority of what we see in Africa. And that's why we see that we are the ones that are seeking for greener pastures, you know, because we don't want to give value, but we want to do what? Giving value. It doesn't work, sir. Are we together? So making profits is to become what? Profitable. And that's to become what? Valuable to somebody. To yourself and to humanity. Only God can teach us how to profit and make us profitable. Isaiah 48 verse 7. This says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, and the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. He says the one who teaches us to want to profit. Some days ago, I was praying this prayer to God, Lord, teach me how to profit. I said, God, this is a gift that I have. Teach me how to profit. See, some of us don't know these prayers are very important. Teach me how to profit. Because life operates on exchange. The barter trade is what still operates till the second coming of Jesus. It's a barter trade that still operates both in the intellectual realm and in the what? Financial realm. Money came in to replace barter. But money is still another kind of barter. Why? Because money is a legal tender used to exchange what? Goods and services. Life operates on exchange. Life operates on exchange. So if you are not exchanging something for something, you have no value. Lord, teach me to profit. It means, Lord, show me how I can use what you are putting into exchange for resources. Like Samadhi always says, he says, money is the end result for solving a problem. It's as simple as that. When you solve a problem, money comes to your hand. That's why you don't pray for it. Solve a problem. Exchange. Life operates on exchange. Exchange. And if you are not ready to exchange, you are not ready to profit. Joseph, in the Potiphar's house, he was not exchanging his dreamer's ability, but he was exchanging his what? His service ability. There's always an ability that God has put in you that you can exchange for your livelihood. You can exchange for your good success. Are we together?
Yes.
And you see, these are principles that have to set in place. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not everything is paid in cash. Are you getting me?
Yes.
One of the problems most of us have, especially in Africa, is that when we think of return, what we think of is cash. More of what you need is in kind than in cash. Because, see, favor, there are favors that you can get that money cannot bring your way. If all you think of is what money can get for you, then you are poor. You are very poor. Praise God forevermore. So good success is the ability to make profit and be profitable. And this comes by you being valuable. God has put value in every one of us. It's for God to make you see that value and to connect you to the person that needs that value. Life is about exchange. Life is about exchange. There's somebody that needs your value. I was talking to my wife and I told her, I said, during my NYC, my national service, I stayed in the house of they were family friends, but they were like parents to me. I still call them daddy and mom. I lived in their house. I remember I initially just stayed there because I was looking for a place to rent for myself and go and start living on my own. When I said, okay, I wanted to engage an agent to get a place for me, I came and I told, she's daddy and my parents, which I call her mommy. I told her, okay, mommy, please, your daughter told me that I was supposed to stay here till I got a place. So I engaged an agent to get a place for me. So I want to let you know that. Once the agent get a place, I'm doing. And she told me, is that what the Lord told you? I was confused. I initially got this place because it was an interim government. Not because the Lord told me whether I'm to stay permanently with you or not, but it was an interim government. And she tells me, is that what the Lord told you? I got confused. I was really confused because I didn't know what the Lord told me. She said, go and ask the Lord whether you are to go and rent a place, whether you have to keep staying here. Your mama tell you that kind of question. You don't need to ask the Lord again now. You don't need to go ask the Lord again. I say, yes, mommy, I hear you. I will not have the mind to come back and tell her, mommy, the Lord says I should go and rent a place. Mommy, so mommy, I've heard you, my time. That was the last time this was a matter with her. Throughout that period, I enjoyed a free accommodation. People were paying for rent. My wife paid for rent. People were paying for rent. I enjoyed free accommodation. I enjoyed free feeding. Breakfast and dinner, steady. Enjoy them. And because of that, I could be traveling a lot. All my money I was using to travel. You know what I'm saying? I could travel to do ministry. And more than that was that I was involved. There were pastors in the church. And I was so involved in their work. And I was teaching their youths. And preached to their youths. And there was a time they even, both of them had to travel. And they gave me the church to manage for them. If I was not there, two of them would have not been to travel at the same time. Because there was nobody to really handle that responsibility for them. And I was able to handle that responsibility for them. You know what I'm saying? Value. All I know how to do was ministry. And it's still ministry. And I became of great value to them. That it took care of my rent. It took care of my feeding. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And yet I was still being blessed. Praise God forevermore. All right, so good success, the ability to make profit and to be profitable, to be valuable. We need to understand this. Now, finally, Joseph prospered, that is, he attained good success only because God was with him. And we say, and God was with him. So we need to understand something. Only the presence of God guarantees good success.
Now is your moment of salvation. If you are yet to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior, we request that you say this prayer along with many others now. Say these words: Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, I repent of my sins, and ask that you forgive my sins. I believe that you shed your blood on the cross, died for my sins, and rose again in the third day. Today, I invite you into my life today. Wash me by your blood, make me your own, and till eternity be my Lord and personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name.
For your love gift of any amount to Grace Life Kami Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 033-154-551-2013. SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. To give in CDs, Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. You can send to account number 033-254-551-2017. To give in Naira, you can send to Ecobank Nigeria. Account number 554-102-0592. Also, for further inquiries, you can call us on +233-54-594-7132. Or send us an email via chimdiohahunaministry@gmail.com. Today, remain ever blessed.
We believe you were blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Beloved, remain connected to Grace Life Komi Podcast. Jesus is Lord.